Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Wish every listener and subscriber a healthy and prosperous 2023. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the moments that impacted 2022 politically in America and across the world. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday, January 2nd, 2023, 9:30 p.m. on the East Coast, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. When you call in, say your first name and where you're calling from. And the telephone number you call in is 515-605-9802. You're listening to the Kitchen Politics Wanting to be Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year to all. I hope that everyone has a beautiful, happy, healthy year and prosperous as well. Enjoy.
Yes. And thank you for subscribing to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're on for 2 hours every Mondays and Thursdays. And hope to expand once the website come on track. We're working on that hard. So pretty soon we'll have a website, and, you know, you could leave all the comments and all the suggestions. We'll have a merchandise section there in that website. And, you know, what is very blow the place up in terms of, like, putting the information out there for Americans to hear. Fox News is doing a disservice. Right-wing media is doing a disservice of telling people lies and helping Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans to spew bullshit, basically. So, well, thank you for joining us. Again, we're on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Subscribe there. The number again, 515-605-9802. We're going to say first name and where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody, no matter your political stripes, no matter if you're independent, socialist, communist, capitalist, right-winger, left-winger, whoever. Everybody's welcome here, but please, do not spew garbage. We'll just hang up on you. We're not going to tolerate that foolishness. It's a new year and new attitude, and we're not going to tolerate it. Okay, so where shall we start, Laurie?
Well, first of all, I would just like to go over a small list that I've compiled of those that have passed away in 2022, and just say their names in memory, and that's, you know, and nothing more than that. Queen Elizabeth II, Sidney Poitier, Bob Saget, Meatloaf. Louis Anderson, William Hurt, Madeleine Albright, Naomi Judd, Bill Russell, Olivia Newton-John, Coolio, Kirstie Alley, and Stephen Twitch Boss. There are many more. I just picked a few, and their memories will go on, and hopefully they will all rest in peace as we go on. And who knows? So
yes. And Naomi Judd was supposed to be inducted into the Rock and Roll or the Country Music Hall of Fame the following day, but because of depression, she took her own life by using a shotgun.
Yes,
so anybody out there who is having depression, suffering from depression and mental illness, call 988. That is the number you call to get help. Talk to somebody.
Yes.
You know, don't take it upon yourself and, you know, depressed so much that you want to kill yourself. You know, call and talk to somebody. Okay, it's interesting.
I just want to say one last thing. Twitch was another one, since you brought that up. He was the latest that committed suicide. He looked so happy the day before. He was dancing with his family, and they looked like they were so in love with each other and their kids, and he took his life as well. So, yes, mental illness is something that this country needs to face and stare it in the face and come up with some solutions. And we do plan mm-hmm. on doing a couple shows about mental illness and
definitely.
Coming up, maybe in
yes.
February.
Yeah, yeah. So now, the big thing tomorrow is the vote for new Speaker of the House, and Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes mm-hmm. to be Speaker right now. So everyone knows that, but do they understand what it means? What will Republicans have to do to build a legislative coalition? What will, you know, they have, what will have to be done by who to get the votes? What will the quote-unquote coalition potentially look like in terms of priorities and needs met to obtain agreement? You know, following the major COVID-related spending bills for the past 2 years, what will Congress do next? Will the Republicans try to claw back some of the monies that, you know, Joe Biden, mm-hmm. you know, signed these bills into laws, and it was billions of dollars, trillions even? Maybe yes, maybe no, mm-hmm. as there are elected representatives in both parties from rural America that are interested in seeing certain priorities, such as, for example, new high-speed broadband projects in rural and remote communities be built out. So what's mm-hmm. the future of politics in the wake of the fail of the Trump coattails in the midterm elections? What will neoconservative mm-hmm. Republicans do in the wake of Trump's flagging influence on voters? What will the Democrats do in response to their experiences in the midterms? Is there a clear voter mandate for the Democrats in the wake of the midterms? And the fourth point is, will the action of this most conservative Supreme Court in modern history, actions such as upending Roe versus Wade, creating some of the new political dynamics, such as the focus on women's issues? You know, these things in 2023 we'll look at. And the year in review, you know, there is the war in Ukraine, and we have, mm-hmm. you know, we had Zelensky come and speak to Congress, and we'll promise him money to help him fight back Russia and Vladimir Putin,
yes.
and hopefully mm-hmm. with this Republican House, it continues that way, because Republicans are befat and begotten to Vladimir Putin for some reason. And I find
mm-hmm.
it very disturbing and heart-rending that the party of Reagan and Ike and Nixon, who always fought communism, you know, just kissing up to Vladimir Putin. Does he have some, you know, damning, you know, scandal on them? What's there in their closets where they're sucking up to Putin this way? You know, it's very,
mm-hmm.
very... It's very frightening, disturbing. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump have a nerve. Why does he have a nerve? Because, you know, he asked people to apologize to him. And, you know, for what? You know, if anything, he should be apologizing to the American people for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not paying taxes, having offshore banking in China, which in 2016 he did say that he closed that account. So
mm-hmm.
what's the deal, Donald? Tell the truth for once. The American people would love to hear the truth.
No.
You know, he has mm-hmm. bank accounts in Ireland and other places. You know, so, you know, be upfront, Donald. Be truthful for once in your miserable, pathetic life. You know,
no.
American people deserve better than that.
That won't happen. You know, and going back, I spoke about the, you know, the House that's coming in and McCarthy. I really think that there is a lot of infighting going on right now. I truly
mm-hmm.
believe that all at each other's throats, because everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're fighting for power, because this
mm-hmm.
Republican Party stands for nothing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's nothing that they have given to the American people. There are no plans. There is no help for them. There is nothing. And yet they're fighting for, you know, to become Speaker. And I find that
mm-hmm.
appalling and shameful. And however it turns out, cause we don't know. There are, you know, I think there's Jim Jordan, for instance, that was his name has been mentioned. He is terrifying, and he is a an evil, sick man, and I would mm-hmm. not want him as Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. And I think his day is coming and reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that sexual abuse scandal that is going on. You know, and the thing is, mm-hmm. the only thing that they want to do is to take down Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Jim mm-hmm. Jordan, that is his main goal. Push on Hunter until he, you know, maybe cracks again and makes mm-hmm. it, you know, because he was a crack addict.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, that's another form of mental illness. That is when mm-hmm. you have things like that going on in your life and you can't control them, you need psychiatric and you need help. So that is mm-hmm. an illness. And that's nothing, as far as I'm concerned, to be, you know, talking about a laptop, because at that time, you know, he was sick. He was messed up. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. So Jim mm-hmm. Jordan had no skeletons in his closet. And we can talk about that a little, mm-hmm. David. I think we could.
Oh, sure. Sure. And, you know, before we start talking about...
Uh-huh.
Before we start talking about that, I just want to say that Donald Trump has never apologized to anyone for anything, but yet he demands yeah. others apologize to him. Only a true yeah. psychopath behaves this way. And,
yep.
you know, I would damned if the Republican Party choose him in 2024, you know. But, you know, back to Jim Jordan. So,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Jim Jordan, you look on the Amendment Clause, Trump broke that. Mm-hmm. The arms trade hold mm-hmm. up for Ukraine. Trump did that. January 6th insurrection with the help of Jim Jordan and other Republicans in the mm-hmm. House and Senate did that. The GOP can't help mm-hmm. themselves. They don't have an agenda. They can't even agree mm-hmm. on electing a Speaker of the House. So mm-hmm. Mike Braun, the Republican senator from Indiana, said GOP don't have a plan. And, you know, they keep running yep. on, oh, okay, elect us first, and then after we get elected, we'll tell the American people what we're about.
Yep.
And,
Amen.
You know, the American people still right through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Absolutely.
And Jim Jordan was assistant wrestling coach from 1987 to 1995, and
yep.
177 students came forward saying that Dr. Richard Strauss, who committed suicide, mm-hmm. Molested yeah. 177 students. So in a 2019 lawsuit, Jordan knew, and when confronted with it, you know, Jim Jordan said that was Strauss just brushing it off. Six ex-wrestlers mm-hmm. were present when Jim Jordan himself tried to witness tamper. You know,
mm-hmm.
so the frenzied base and spineless leaders of GOP by the yeah. impeachment likely because they have the control of the House and everything. But what
you know,
should be what it should be concentrating on is the eviction crisis in America, the income inequality, mm-hmm. the inflation, climate crisis. Mm-hmm. For God's sake, inflation has been the highest in 40 years. That's what Republicans should be, you know, rolling up the sleeves and working with Democrats, you know, to put on the control.
Yeah.
But no, they're going after Hunter Biden and his goddamn computer.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, you know. And, you know, Jim Jordan, there is an investigation going on into this because he had his locker right next to Strauss. His locker was right next
mm-hmm.
door. Don't tell me that he didn't know what was going on. Don't tell me. And when they came up to him, he was an assistant coach for 8 years. And when, you know, the wrestlers on the team came up and told them, you know, they're doing this or they're in the sauna, and he sits in the sauna and looks at them and, you know, and about their physical exams, he just walked away from it. He,
mm-hmm.
he's just as guilty as Strauss in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In my
exactly.
eyes. Because he didn't
Cover
do
up.
Anything about it. He didn't report it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do anything. And he told them basically, you know, to give it up. So, and not say anything. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
this shows you the character of this man. And this is going
mm-hmm.
to come out to bite him in the ass, so to speak, because
mm-hmm. exactly.
if you think that Joe Biden is going to sit back and allow this man to take down his son or even try to take down Joe Biden, it's not going to happen. I guarantee that. So this will be an interesting year. I For myself, I am so sick of this infighting. I would like for this country to move forward. You know, today I went to the grocery store and this little old lady, you know, we were kind of hit buggies together. And she said, you know, she said, I just can't believe it. She said, there was a dozen eggs cost $6. And I'm like, I know. And she says, I think that these corporations are just there. I think these companies are just raising prices to make money off of us. But I mean, do you have to remember $6 for a dozen eggs where we used to buy them 79 cents, 99 cents, $1.29.
Mm-hmm.
You could get organic mm-hmm. eggs for, you know, $3-$4. Now $6
right.
for a dozen eggs. I mean, if that's mm-hmm. not highway robbery, what is? These mm-hmm. are the things that mm-hmm. need to have a focus so people can live, you know. So she went probably without buying eggs because that's $6. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money for a dozen eggs. And that made me sad
yeah.
today. And I thought it was outrageous. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. In other news that made the headlines this year, Brazil will charge George Santos, the congressman-elect from District 3 in New York, with fraud.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what he did, but for those listeners who don't know, when his mother was mm-hmm. a caretaker for an old person, her son, her bastardized son, George Santos, mm-hmm. Took the person's checkbook and write fraudulent checks all over the place. And he even bought
mm-hmm.
himself sneakers with one of the checks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, George Santos, I think Republicans have not a problem picking a House
mm-hmm.
Speaker. You know, George Santos would make a perfect candidate for House Speaker because the lack of integrity by the Republican Party, the lack of
mm-hmm.
backbone, spine to stand up to their base, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, may as well George Santos grub beard and call himself Abraham Lincoln, honest Abe, because this
mm-hmm.
rat bastard will be going to prison. Why? Because by law, when you fill out campaign financial reports, you cannot lie on it.
Yep.
And he lied.
Yeah.
And every time you lie
yeah.
on a financial report, that's 5 years. So how many times on financial reports, when you do the financial reports monthly, how
yeah.
many times did he lie on that? Where did he get $700,000, for example, to fund his campaign? You know,
and
things
you know,
like
he,
that.
And, you know, he could not afford his mother's funeral. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he is a piece of work. And I do think
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the Republican Party has a problem with him going in because everyone knows that he lied and he's really
mm-hmm.
there under false pretenses. And they should
yes.
make him step down and face the music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's
you know
the lies that George Santos did. He never worked for Citigroup or Goldman Sachs. He didn't graduate
mm-hmm.
from college. He's not Jewish. His grandparents didn't flee from the Holocaust. They're not Holocaust survivors. He never ran an animal rescue charity. He never owned 13 properties. He didn't attend
mm-hmm.
elite private schools. So these are some of the things that George Santos claimed on his lying resume
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he, you know, was about and everything. And, you know, the local media, like Channel 12 News in New York, New York Times, why did it come out afterwards at the elections when they elected this buffoon, this lying sack of crap, you know,
yep.
to the Congress? I mean, granted that District 3 New York have a conservative sway. It's in Long Island and Nassau County, which is traditionally Republican, you know. But, you know,
and I,
there should be a recall for this man, George Santos.
Yeah, and I thought it was very funny when he said he was Jewish, and then he said, I'm Jew/ish, which
mm-hmm.
I found to be ridiculous. You know,
mm-hmm.
it was like
mm-hmm.
making fun of, you know, the person, that the reporter that was saying, you said you were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no,
mm-hmm.
I said I was
mm-hmm.
Jew/ish. I mean,
mm-hmm.
what the hell, you know?
Yeah, he's trying to be cute.
There's so many
he's
things.
Trying to be coy.
Yeah, he claimed that he was robbed of his rent money, but there's the New York PD has no record of it. I mean, it's just, he's a liar. I mean, he is a habitual liar. That's the word I'm looking for, an habitual liar. And those kind of people are dangerous people. They're very dangerous
psychopaths.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look at Trump with the annulment clause when he was in the White House. He broke that several times. You know, January 6th insurrection, the biggest thing. You know, why hasn't Trump been indicted? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, George Santos and Donald Trump, this is for you.
Yeah.
For real. And I hope they go to prison.
He also said that he worked at Citigroup. He said he worked at Goldman Sachs. They have no record of him working there. You know, And I don't even understand how he got nominated. I just don't understand how this happened in New York. It blows my mind, but it did happen. And it just shows us, you know, that we need to research people that are running for office like there's no tomorrow.
Definitely.
Because these kind of things can happen again.
Yeah, you know? What a bastion of democracy. And when embarrassing things like this happen, they look bad in the United States. Okay, so in February, that's when the war against Ukraine, the aggression against Ukraine started. Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump's boss and lord and master, invaded Ukraine, a sovereign nation. And he feared the reason why Russia invaded is because they're about to join NATO, and Ukraine and Russia, they have a border and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, according to Putin, he felt threatened, and he was just standing up for Russia. But nobody in Russia wants this war.
No.
And so
they've been protesting it all along. Even the soldiers don't want the war.
Right.
But,
you know, so
he's a narcissist. He's a psychopath as well. And I thought there was rumors he had cancer, but he's still here. People pass away, and well, let's go on.
Yeah, it's just dreadful.
Yeah, it is. Let's go on for a minute and talk about something positive. How about if we go through some of the things, some of the major new laws that will go into effect in 2023, and then we can go through that a little bit, and then we can talk about the accomplishment as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here are some of the things. I sent you the link, David, so you know. Let's see here. Let's go through. Okay, the minimum wage, 27 states, see the minimum wage increase in 2023, with the majority of implementing them on January the 1st. Now, what I'm going to say about the minimum wage is it's still not enough. I know that here in Michigan it's going to be, I believe, $10 and a few cents per hour, which is not enough. No one can live on $10 an hour. I think with eggs being $6 a carton, a dozen, you can live on $15 an hour if you think about it logically. So, I mean, okay, they did, you know, raise the minimum wage, but they need to do more. They really do need to do more. So people don't have to do three jobs. And I find that to be important. So,
because in Montana, they have the lowest minimum wage raise at $9.95 per hour, while Washington State is the highest at $15.74. Now, I know for a fact that in New Mexico, where I live, it's going to be $15 an hour. New York mm-hmm. City and its surrounding counties have a $15 mm-hmm. minimum wage minimum, which is 80 cents higher mm-hmm. than new minimum wage for the rest of the, yeah. the state, according to New York minimum wage laws. Oregon will decide its minimum wage in July based on the consumer price index, and there would be a different minimum wage for the Portland area.
Well, the thing is, David, even in New York, I mean, if you think about this, you know, I don't know so much. I don't know a lot about, you know, Montana and their prices, but I know New York is very expensive. And there again, $15 an hour is not enough to pay, you know, rent in New York and buy groceries and live. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not enough. So we have to think about those things. Maybe in some states where, you know, things are more expensive, they need to raise the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people can live. So it has to be, I would say, and I know that people are going to balk because I've had so many arguments with people about raising the minimum wage, because then they say that the price of everything is going to go up. Well, hell, the price of everything is up, and the wages have not gone up to reflect the cost.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I – and they're still making money.
Yeah.
They're still making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, the myth, it's a myth. You know, they use that excuse that, oh, if we raise, you know, McDonald's, then, you know, your hamburger is going to cost, you know, $10.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is,
yeah,
it probably will, but, you know, people have to live.
Yeah. And speaking of hamburgers, I went to Burger King today, this morning, before the Liverpool versus, who did Liverpool play today? My beloved Liverpool lost 3-1, by the way. But anyway, went to Burger King before the game, bought a hamburger, the sole single hamburger, a double patty, and that cost $8.67 when you add tax, you know? And same burger a couple years back was like $4 something.
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about inflation. I'm like, $8 plus for a burger? There's a single burger. You know, what the hell? You know?
I know.
Am I paying mortgage on this goddamn hamburger?
Can you imagine if you have, you know, a couple kids and you know, boys or, you know, and you're on your way, on your way to something, school or something, and you want school function and you want to eat real fast, it'll cost you $40 for a couple burgers, you know, and maybe a couple drinks. It's crazy. I mean, something needs to be done about this inflation that I do not believe that it's inflation. I mean, it is inflation because the prices are high. But the root of the inflation is that these corporations are making big bucks, and they are blaming it on inflation. And you know what I'm saying? And it's not hard to figure out, but I really think that's what's happening. So let's go to the next one.
We'll have,
go ahead.
Yeah, we'll have somebody online hauling. I think it's Madeline from Michigan. But before we go to her, I just, you know, want to say, I want to ask, since McCarthy do have the votes to be speaker right now, do you think Steve Scalise from Pennsylvania, or God forbid, that arrogant man who going to take over the Judiciary Committee in the House, Jim Jordan, the former wrestling coach who allowed for sexual deviance to happen against 177 boys to the speaker, you know, who do you think in a Republican Party now that serves in the House could be a good speaker? I can't find anybody. I went through all of them, cannot find not one of them.
No, there are none.
Mm-hmm.
There are none.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely are none. And, you know, back a few years, if we think back a few years, remember John Boehner?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand John Boehner. I mean, I detested that man. And I'd take him back. I would take him back. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting tomorrow, because I hope C-SPAN and all the major networks focus a little bit on Nancy Pelosi and see the big broad smile on her face to what a shit show the Republicans going on with now. Because if they can't caucus and choose a speaker, how can they, you know, think that they can run, you know, policy and govern? And what sort of coalition do we build up? You know, you have the neocons, you have the MAGAs, you have the quote-unquote Freedom Caucus. You know, you have all different factions and everything. I remember 13 years ago when I was doing a blog, it was March of 2013, if I remember correctly, where, you know, spelled out the different factions in the Republican Party. You know, and nobody since Reagan has been able to unite the Republican Party. And Trump did it. But, you know, we'll say how that went to hell in a handbasket, you know, when his taxes came out. There's no rhyme or reason for him to be the Republican nominee in 2024, you know. And when you look deep to see who threatening candidate for Joe Biden, none of them, you know.
No.
They're either as dangerous as Trump or even more dangerous. Because Ron DeSantis, he's a Harvard-educated Trump 2.0. You know, he speaks a little bit better, but he's still evil and maniacal and diabolical, and he should not be in the White House. Okay, we continue, but let's take this call. Madeline, calling from Michigan. Hello.
Hello. Hello, David. Hello, Lori. Hello, everyone.
Hi. How are you?
If I had to think as well, I'm well. Thank you. Happy New Year to one and all. Oh, if Jim Jordan, I have no, then that whole house is done. If that human being is out, can you even fathom that? No. And I agree with you, David. As far as from what we can choose, no. Each and every one of them has some kind of something that is going to hurt the country instead of help the country. And that's terrible.
And you know what? And you know what? If Jim Jordan is chosen as House Speaker of Scalise, why not just put George Santos on an ethics committee? You know, on the start of the day.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, the Republican Party have no values. I talk about family values. They have
no values,
no scruples about them. No shame.
No shame.
You know?
No shame.
The German of the hell out of the district and everything, that's the only reason why they won this election. It's supposed to be a red tidal wave or a tsunami. It wasn't even a trickle. The only red thing that was there is Donald Trump throwing ketchup on his wall and throwing it on his wife's dress.
Can you remind me, how many more seats did the Republicans get in the House that won the House?
I think six or seven seats.
I thought
if
it
I'm
was
not
five,
mistaken.
But I don't know.
Yeah, they have about 220 seats. Yeah, the 118th Congress, Republicans will have 220 seats. And with this George Santos guy, who knows? I just may need him for voting for a Speaker of the House. And there's no precedent in expelling somebody. The last time somebody got expelled and went to prison was James Traficant from Ohio, the congressman, for the corruption he did. And if this is not corruption, what Santos did, then, you know, what the hell is? You know, and if the will keep him, then they'll probably censor him and put him in a little corner and say, be a good boy, stay there and don't say anything. You know?
And I think that's why Kevin McCarthy is keeping his mouth shut. He keeps his vote. I believe that. So, yeah, and that's why. Maybe after they vote, it'll be different. But right now, that's what they need. They need to vote. And I just want to say one thing. We brought up Ron DeSantis, and I talked about this before. But I really think that it needs to come out in a way that people need to honestly see what kind of a man he is. You know, he was a military lawyer, and he oversaw torture in Guantanamo Bay. To me, And he stood there, he watched it, and I watched part of the video. I couldn't watch it all because I couldn't bear to watch it. And no emotion. And they would pour, they would have them strapped. And I said this before, but I want it said again because I want people to understand about DeSantis. I call him DeSatan. He stood there and watched them pour protein drinks, one after another, down their throats, choking. And then he was standing next to one of them, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he threw up all over DeSantis in his face. I mean, what kind of a person, I don't care who you are, what kind of a person can stand and watch torture? And this man wants to be president of the United States. Think about that. That's sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
it's
is.
An example
yes, it
of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Just
mm-hmm.
awful.
Did
yes,
we talk
is.
About
yes,
the act that Biden is going to sign?
No,
not
yet.
No.
We got to that
okay,
later
okay.
on.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing on our agenda, Laura, is new legalized drug laws. Maryland and Missouri are slated to roll out their rules and regulation for legalized recreational marijuana for adults over 21. Voters
mm-hmm.
in both of these states, which currently offer medical
mm-hmm.
marijuana to adults, passed ballot measures in November this past 2022 that approved the change. So as,
mm-hmm.
As of January 1st, 21 states and the District of Columbia offer adult residents legalized recreational and medical marijuana. In 2020,
mm-hmm.
Oregon voters approved a ballot measure that made the state the first in the nation to legalize recreational psychedelic mushrooms. Specifically, psilocybin. Adult
yeah.
residents will only be allowed to use drug in a supervised state-approved center. So starting January
mm-hmm.
4th, the Oregon Health Authority will begin accepting applications for psilocybin manufacturers, and the agency is expected to begin opening psilocybin centers for residents later this year. And
mm-hmm.
Colorado voters also passed a ballot measure in the last election to legalize psychedelic mushrooms. While the substance won't be available for some time as the state works out the specifics of regulations, the state will decriminalize those substances by January 4th of this year, according to the Colorado Secretary of State's office. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, these states, 21 states, you know, the legalized medical marijuana and
mm-hmm.
Recreational use and everything. Do you think that the Republicans can't have nothing about it because the statewide election
no.
have no authority. What's your thing on legalizing drugs like marijuana and, you know, psychedelic drugs?
Well, I, you know, the marijuana there's nothing wrong
I'd
with
like
it.
I'd like to see them
as long as it's used
oh,
properly.
Wait. Yeah, Madeline, hold on. Laura's trying to make a point. You make a point afterwards.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's used properly, I believe that it's just fine and good. There are a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that medical marijuana does for people. It puts them out of, you know, pain like back aches and leg aches and, you know, headaches,
mm-hmm.
and it calms them down a little bit instead of popping a pill.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
as long as it's not abused, and it's regulated, I think it's
mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome. I don't think there's
mm-hmm.
anything wrong with it at all. You know, it's just like
mm-hmm.
everything. It's, you know, you have to make sure that it's done properly, it's not abused, it's regulated, it's not overcharged,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you have your medical marijuana card, you keep everything up to date, and sure,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. People love it. And I
yeah.
find it to be an alternative for people that do not want to pop pills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And go ahead, Madeline.
In addition to what you had just mentioned, Lori, I'd like to, it would, in the best interest of everyone involved, reclassify the DEA schedule list, number one. Cannabis is still considered in the same category as heroin. And according to the federal government, marijuana is illegal. On the state level, it's different, as
we
all know.
Michigan, it's legal. It's legal here.
Exactly. And yet, they can't do the banking, and it's a cash business. They can't do banking unless it's all cash. And when it comes to these psychedelic drugs, now, in retrospect to people like who are patients in psychiatry, they used to use, years ago, different natural hallucinogenic properties as medication. So, again, to add to your point, reclassify them properly.
Yeah.
Do not have a double-edged sword. Because technically, and again, on the federal level, they're illegal. And remembering that the psychedelic and the mushrooms, they had been used in different stages of our century. So we're not doing anything that hasn't been done. And they need to reclassify genuinely. And that's my point on it. There needs, I don't think Big Pharma is going to give them what for their money. Because if there are natural properties in these drugs, cannabis, THC, mushrooms, psychedelic, whatever the purpose, okay, that would stop taking a pill instead.
Right.
Put a king. And armor and Big Pharma's armor. So
that's part of the problem. We know that
is, I would think, majority of the problem. That these congressmen and these senators will take the money from Big Pharma in regards to this topic alone, and not allow legislation in their states. Again, hurting people, possibly medical.
Well, we know that Big Pharma made almost $2 trillion in profits just last year. $2 trillion.
Fantastic.
Think about that for a moment.
It's the same thing they've been doing for years.
Years. Of course.
No surprise. But that's
no,
where I stand on the drugs, David, Lori.
Yeah. Okay. That's,
so to answer the question earlier, what's the seating level? Republicans will have 222 seats in the House compared to 212 for Democrats. One vacant seat, the Democrat from North Carolina, I think, just resigned to be a lobbyist, so they don't have a special election. And Ben Sasse, the former governor and now former senator from Nebraska, is retiring from the U.S. Senate, and he's going to go into the public sector to make some money. Don't really blame the man, because we had a Republican Party going on now. It's ridiculous. So leadership, as far as new Congress is concerned, let me read it quickly. Kamala Harris is the presiding president of the U.S. Senate. President pro tempore is Senator Pat Pottermore from Washington State. President of Pro Tempore Emeritus, Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa. The majority in the U.S. Senate, Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer from New York. Majority Whip is Dick Durbin from Illinois. Chairman from Democratic Policy and Communications Committees, Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. Chair of Democratic Steering Committees, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota. Vice Chairs, Senate Democratic Caucus, is Mark Warner from Virginia and Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. Chair of the Democratic Outreach Committee, Bernie Sanders from Vermont. Secretary of the Senate Democratic Caucus is Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. Vice Chairs for the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee, Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Cory Booker from New Jersey. Chair of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, that should be announced soon. Vice Chair for the Democratic Outreach Committee is Catherine Cortez Musto. She was elected by the Narrowest Victories in Nevada recently. And Deputy Secretary of the Senate Democratic Caucus is Brian Schatz from Hawaii. And on the Republican side now, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, Minority Whip, John Thune, South Dakota, Chairman for the Senate Republican Conference, John Barrasso from Wyoming, Chairwoman for the Republican Policy Committee's Joni Ernst from Iowa, Vice Chair of the Senate Republican Conference is Shannon Moore Caputo from West Virginia, Chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee is Steve Daines from Montana. The House of Representatives, as was said for the top of the hour on the show, the Speaker is to be announced tomorrow is the election. Majority Leader is Steve Scalise from Louisiana District 1. Majority Whip is Tom Emer from Minnesota District 6. Conference Chair Elise Stefanik, New York 21st District. Conference Vice Chair is Mike Johnson from Louisiana District 4. Conference Secretary Lisa McLean, District 9 from Michigan. We all know Lisa McLean, how arrogant and incompetent she is. Campaign Committee Chairman is Richard Hudson, North Carolina 8th. And for the minority, the minority leader is Hakeem Jeffries, New York 8th District. Minority Whip, Catherine Clark, Massachusetts 5. Caucus Chairman, Peter Aguilar from California 33. Assistant Democratic Leader, Jim Clyburn from South Carolina 6. Caucus Vice Chairman, Ted Lieu, California 36. Chairman from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Susan Delbeni from Washington State, 1st District. Chairman of the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee, Joe Negussi from Colorado, 2nd District. Co-chairs of the House Democratic Policy and Communications Committee to be announced. And these other seats are to be announced. House Democratic Junior Caucus Leadership Representative, House Democratic Freshman Class Leadership Representative, the co-chair of the House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee, and the House Democratic Senior Chief Deputy Whips, and the House Democratic Chief Deputy Whips, all supposed to be voted on by tomorrow. So, you know, that's how it is today.
We shall see.
As we speak.
We shall see. It'll be interesting, won't it, to watch tomorrow or to hear? It'll be very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I've been rushing from home to watch C-SPAN. You know,
oh, yeah.
Because...
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I'll watch well.
Yeah.
There's one last thing. One of the major laws that went in effect are going in effect or in effect at 2023. The last one is let me see here. It is criminal justice reform. So there are several states that implement changes to their criminal justice policies beginning January the 1st. Illinois is slated to become the first state in the union to end cash bail. Under the Safety Act, courts will use a more equitable system where pre-trial detention is based on community risk rather than financial means, according to Governor Pritzker's office. California will become the first state to restrict the use of rap lyrics in criminal investigations in 2023. Under the law, a judge will have to determine the admissibility of the lyrics in the questions as evidence and whether they are directly linked to an alleged crime. Now, that's interesting. Several states will have new regulations that will expunge the records of former felons who don't commit any crime after they are released from prison. That's fair.
Yes, it
because,
is.
You know, it's hard for them to get a job and to start over. In society,
yes, it gives them
it's
purpose.
Very hard. Yeah, it's it, yes, and
something
to
work for.
Yes, and have a means to, you know, to feed themselves. So yes, I think that is a good thing. And in Michigan, and just some new rules, up to two felony convictions will automatically be expunged 10 years after a person's sentence is complete if they don't commit another crime. 10 years. There are several exceptions, including felonies that involve sex crimes, which I agree with, and a felony conviction for domestic violence, and I agree with that one as well. California will allow people with violent sell any records to petition to have their records sealed if they completed their sentence and have not yet had a felony offense in 4 years. So, you know, they are doing a little bit. I agree with some of it and some of it I don't. But the cash bail thing is probably a good thing, you know. And I also think, you know, the to restrict the rap, you know, the use of rap lyrics, that was that's interesting to me. I never thought about that, you know. Is that what they do? I mean, are rap lyrics sometimes
because these rappers,
you know, let these rhyme.
Yeah, basically these rappers are so stupid that they basically, you know, outline what they did in murdering people and put in the lyrics.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, prosecutors usually have that evidence to, hey, you know, look at this. What do we have here?
Well,
oh, you tell us exactly what you did. You know, so.
Well, then I don't know if I agree with this. So, you know, to restrict it, if they confess in a rap, you know, in a song, then, hey, that's your problem, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
How about that?
This one. So Joe Biden, he has 23 great achievements as president of the United States so far. And we go through 12 of them, and then I read the rest of them and everything. So let's see. Let's start at number one. Continued implementing the historic Day One executive order, advancing equity and racial justice across the entire federal government. This included the release of 90 agency equity action plans containing over 300 commitments on issues ranging from maternal mortality mortality to language access to environmental justice. Number two, he signed a historic executive order to advance safe, effective, and accountable community policing to build public trust and strengthen public safety by requiring federal law enforcement agencies to ban chokeholds, adopt stricter use of force policies, greatly restricting no-knock warrants, implementing body-worn cameras, provide de-escalation and anti-racial profiling training, establish a national database of officers' misconduct records, restricted medical equipment transfers, military equipment transfers, and many more. The order also directed federal agencies to provide training, technical assistance, and funding to support state and local law enforcement agencies in adopting the same measures.
Number three.
Made
progress on the president's goal of increasing the share of federal contracting dollars awarded to small disadvantaged businesses, SDBS, by 50% by 2025. In 2021, the administration awarded a record level of contracting dollars to SDBs with 2022 expected to set a new record. And number four, hosted the White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health in more than 50 years, and released a national strategy to end hunger and reduce diet-related disease by 2030. Over $8 billion in new private and public sector commitments were announced at the White House conference. Number five, David.
Yeah, he launched the Rural Partners Network in 36 communities in 11 states and territories, advancing a whole lot of government initiatives led by the Department of Agriculture and supported by more than 20 federal agencies and regional commissions that place full-time federal staff on the ground to help local leaders navigate and access federal resources. Number six, made historical investments in tribal nations, including more than $32 billion in American Rescue Plan, $13 billion in bipartisan infrastructure law, and over $700 million in Inflation Reduction Act specifically for tribal nations and native communities. In addition, the Biden administration secured, for the first time in history, advanced appropriations for the Indian Health Service, which will ensure a more predictable funding stream and improve health outcomes across the England country. So, you know, for the first time in history, the Native Americans are being looked at and, you know, treated with respect, the proper respect.
Finally.
Finally.
And treated, you know? treated humanely, you know. Number seven.
Exactly. Number seven.
Hosted a historic United We Stand summit to combat the hate-fueled violence and announced a host of new federal and non-federal deliverables, including the launch of the White House Initiative on Hate-Motivated Violence, the creation of an online clearinghouse of prevention sources, and over $1 billion in philanthropic commitments for unity-building activities. That's very positive as well. And number eight, address our failed approach to marijuana by pardoning all federal and D.C. simple marijuana possession offenses. Yay. Urging governors to pardon state and local offenses and starting the administrative process of the Department of Justice and Health and Human Services reviewing how marijuana is scheduled.
There you go.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, number nine, launch a whole of government mental health strategy to address our nation's mental health crisis and transform how we understand, access, and treat mental health in America, including the transition of a nationwide 988 suicide and crisis lifeline. So at the top of the program again, I did say that number, 988 is the number you call if you're having mental issues and you're depressed about something and thinking of taking your life. Don't do it. Call 988 and you get the help you need. This includes increased funding for communities with mental health organizations, school districts, and institutions of higher education to increase the number of school-based and community mental health professionals. Number 10, strengthen deferred action for childhood arrivals, DACA. By defending DACA in court against ongoing attacks, issued a presidential memorandum to preserve and fortify DACA and releasing a final rule codifying the 2012 DACA policy. Number 11, reunified and provided support services to more than 570 families who were separated under the previous Trump administration's zero tolerance policy. Of the children who remained separated from President Biden when Biden took office, more than 70% of their families have been contacted and offered the opportunity to reunite. So,
that,
you know,
that within itself should tell you what a horrible human being that orange monster is.
Don't you mean Stephen Miller?
Well, Stephen Miller is part of the problem.
Yeah, that was his baby, and then Trump just loved it.
But, I mean, the orange monster went right along with it.
Oh, amen to that, didn't he?
He got rejected. He fueled the fire, and, you know, a lot of families suffered and are probably still suffering because of what they did. And it was horrific, and it still is horrific. And the last proposal, the last number 12 for right now, proposed rules to ban menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars, which is projected to save as many as 654,000 lives, including up to 238,000 Black Americans. Across the board, Biden's 2-year record is a record of results for the American people. It's a record of taking on some of our nation's challenges and delivering. That's the spirit that drove the Biden administration to success during 2022, and it's the spirit we're carrying with us in 2023. Let's stay tuned, people. I love
Yes, Ryan. Remember, they passed the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan. It increased investment in national network for bridges, roads, airports, public transport, and national broadband internet for rural areas in America, as well as waterways and energy systems. You know, and when any politician, whether Democrat or Republican, saying, "Oh, you know, I'm for small government,"
for the past 20 years at least, neither Democrat nor Republican is for small government, because we need these things. The infrastructure plan is important. You know, they helped get more than 500 million life-saving COVID vaccinations in the arms of Americans through the American Rescue Plan. Compared to Donald Trump, who say you must, you know, drink bleach and inject yourself with UV rays or whatever bullshit he was saying, Joe Biden, you know, actually was proactive and got millions of Americans vaccinated, and even the backup vaccination and everything. He stopped the 30-year streak of federal inaction on gun violence by signing the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which created enhanced background checks, closed the boyfriend loophole, and provided funds for youth mental health. You know, made $369 billion investment in climate change, largest in American history, through the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Go Joe Biden, and ended the longest war in American history by putting out troops in Afghanistan. And it was the putting out of troops started under Donald Trump, and it continued under Joe Biden. And he put out all the troops, but yet still, even though it was Trump who started it, the criticism for whatever happened afterwards is going towards Joe Biden. He's catching hell, which is ridiculous. Another thing, the school debt college relief, $10,000 to $20,000 for Americans with loans who make under $125,000 a year. Debt forgiveness for college debt is good. He cut child poverty in half through the American Rescue Plan. Donald Trump didn't give a damn. He capped prescription drug prices at $2,000 per year for seniors on Medicare through the Inflation Reduction Act. Republicans, again, because they're given money by the pharmaceutical companies, didn't give a damn. You know, they wanted thousands of dollars per year. I remember these seniors are living off of Social Security and Medicare. You know, so that they don't have a heart. They just care about, you know, propping up the corporations and the big man with thousands and trillions of dollars. He kept prescription drugs prices at 2,000, like I said. He passed a COVID relief deal that provided payments for up to $1,400 to many struggling U.S. citizens while supporting renters and increasing unemployment benefits. Under Republicans, again, they didn't give a goddamn about America. Historically low unemployment rates after the pandemic caused, you know, them to skyrocket. You know, historically low unemployment. In the 4 years that, what's his name, Trump was there, record loss of jobs.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
The orange bastard didn't have a clue what he was doing. He imposed a 15% minimum corporate tax on some of the largest corporations in America, ensuring that they pay their fair share of taxes as part of the historic Inflation Reduction Act. Joe Biden signed, recommitted America to the global fight against climate change by rejoining the Paris Agreement. Donald Trump, the first things what he did when he came in there 4 years ago, is come out of the Paris Agreement. Donald Trump, again, is a rat bastard. Strengthened NATO alliance in support of Ukraine after the Russian invasion by endorsing the inclusion of world military powers, Sweden and Finland. Checkmate Russia. Take that, bitch. Donald Trump, Putin had the gall and wanted to invade Sweden and Finland. You know, that would start World War III, but no, because they're in NATO, they're untouched. They can't be touched. Let them try. World War III would start. Hopefully, it will happen. So he authorized the assassination of the Al-Qaeda terrorist Ayman al-Zarqawi, who became the head of the organization Al-Qaeda after the death of Osama bin Laden. And, you know, Lisa McClain wrongly said in her campaign, not this one passed, but the previous one, saying that it was Trump who got Osama bin Laden killed. No, honey, it was Barack Obama.
Oh, my.
Get facts straight.
What?
And so it's another notch in the column for Democrats, as al-Zarqawi was assassinated. Gave Medicare the power to negotiate prescription drug prices through the Inflation Reduction Act, while also reducing government health spending. Joe Biden did that. Vladimir Putin account. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one last thing, and then you can finish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you mentioned the PACT Act that gives veterans the benefits, you know, better benefits.
Yeah, coming
that they
to that.
Deserve.
Coming to that.
Okay.
Yeah, coming
okay.
to that. Yes, stiff economic sanctions against imposed against Vladimir Putin and his allies for the invasion of Ukraine. So a lot of billionaires who are from Russia, assets were seized. They're close to Putin, and Putin himself, mm-hmm. his assets were seized and everything. So, you know, hopefully by March, April, Russia will really feel the effects of these economic sanctions. Joe Biden boosted the budget of the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, by nearly $80 billion to reduce tax evasion, which Donald Trump did, and increase revenue. Created more jobs in 1 year, 6.6 million jobs, than any other U.S. president in history. Remember, it's just the first year this happened in anybody's presidency. He reduced healthcare premiums under the Affordable Care Act by $800 a year as part of the America Rescue Plan. He signed the PACT Act, which you just asked about, to address service members' exposure to burn pits and other toxins. They're getting cancer and getting different diseases and dying, you know, wretched deaths. You know, signed the CHIPS and Science Act to strengthen American manufacturing and innovation. Which state was it? Is it Minnesota, where they have they're not really dependent on China anymore for these chips and everything to go in cell
phones?
Well.
Michigan,
so
as well, of course. Michigan as well for the
Michigan
factor.
As well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Republicans bitching about that. Why are you bitching about it? It's American jobs. American ingenuity, creativity. You know, shut the hell up, Republicans. We are reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act through 2027, something Republicans refuse to do. Why?
Yep.
Well, women are still in class citizens. You know, women don't deserve respect.
No, they don't. According to them.
And finally, he halted all federal executions after the previous administration, reinstated them after a 17-year freeze. Now tell me, Donald Trump is a rat bastard. Republicans who follow him are rat bastards, you know?
Yeah,
they are.
They do not deserve their salary. They do not deserve – they deserve all to be fired. Any of them.
All you have to get a staff, an office, a driver.
Yeah. You know, and any of us that work, you know, work in an environment where we produce nothing, we would have been fired a long time ago. I mean, that's just how it works. And these people go on year after year causing destruction and flaming fires and causing problems for the American people, and there's consequences, and it's wrong. And I'm tired of waiting for the indictment of the Orange Monster. It's time. I mean, there, you know, there. It was recommended, you know, by the January 6th Commission. You know, they spelled it out, and it's time that something's done. I mean, why? You know, what are we waiting for? Christmas is over. We're into a new year. What are we waiting for? You know,
exactly.
the time has come.
If I may.
I mean, yeah.
If I may, I think that as soon as the commission made the recommendations, I do believe that is when Mayor when Garland appointed Jack Smith as that was the beginning there. I'm right with you as well, Lori and David, in the sense that he is recuperating overseas, but he has thrown out those subpoenas. It's just they're not moving fast enough for most of us.
No,
that's the problem.
These are the I'm going to say once again the four referrals. The criminal referrals that the January 6th Commission came up with, and here they are. The first one, obstruction of an official proceeding, corruptly obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so. Number two, conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy either to commit any offense against the United States or to defraud the United States. Number three, conspiracy to make a false statement in any matter within the jurisdiction of the government of the United States, make any materially false fictionist or fraudulent statements. And the fourth one, incite, assist, or aid, or comfort an insurrection. Incite, assist, engage in any rebellion, insurrection, or give an aid to comfort thereof. Excuse me? He did all four.
Yeah.
There we go. Can't forget.
Yes, time for him to go.
We had the holidays. This was before the holidays, and, you know, everyone was on their little, we were all on our, you know, our Christmas and New Year's and happy times and all these things and family times and cooking and baking, et cetera. But now it's time to get down to this. He needs to be indicted. America needs to see that no matter who you are, you can be indicted for a crime. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
No one above the law. No one.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Until that happens, we will not rest in this country.
Exactly. Yes, man. Okay, so check this out now. In Virginia 4, it will become vacant because Donald McEachern, he died November 28th, 2022, before the beginning of the Congress. So a special election will be held February 24th, 2023. And I don't know about Virginia 4. I think it leans Democratic, but I'm not too positive. Incumbent from Nebraska, U.S. Senator Ben Sasse, as I said earlier in the show, he vacated that seat January 8th, 2023, to become the president of the University of Florida. His successor will be appointed by the governor of Nebraska, who's a Republican. You know, that's how it is right now. 222 seats for Republicans to 212 for Democrats. You know, and Kevin McCarthy, out of 9 holdouts, you know, he can just afford to lose 4 people, but all 9 are so adamant against him that they're not going to vote for him under any circumstances. So we're in a crisis here, people. Do you think Liz Cheney, out of spite, you know, maybe she could draw some moderate Republicans in and Democrats, you know, just to poke the bear and poke the fingers in the eyes of Republicans, you know, nominate her and elect her Speaker of the House? That was so grand. That was so...
That was
I just love to see Nancy Pelosi face tomorrow, you know, when she look in that camera and smile. And just enjoying the shit show what's happening in these Republicans.
Oh, yeah. He's going to enjoy it tomorrow, for sure. You know? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where it all lands. And, you know, how they play their and, you know, who's who. So it'll be interesting tomorrow. The next thing we should talk about is the latest thing is the Electoral Count Reform Act that's going to head to President Biden's desk for his signature. I think that's really important to talk about. Did you hear about that, Dave? Yeah?
Oh, yes, ma'am, because Friday, December 23rd, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the bill 4573, the bipartisan bill to reform the antiquated Electoral College Act, the ECA, as part of the omnibus spending package to fund the federal government next year. The House passage comes after the Senate approved the bill on December 22nd. Now that the omnibus has passed both chambers of Congress, the bill goes to President Biden for signature. Senate Bill 4573, the Electoral College Reform and Presidential Transition Improvement Act, is designed to reform the process by which Congress counts Electoral College votes to avoid a repeat of the events of January 6, 2021. This bill will clarify the role of the vice president, which is purely ceremonial,
raises the threshold of members of Congress to initiate objections to electoral college results to one-fifth of each chamber. Good. Ensure there's only one conclusive slate of electors from each state. So what Trump tried were the fake electors. Not now they fly anymore. That's through the window.
Can't work.
An outline. And outlines of process for expedited court reviews of election results. So, you know, you're not going to take 2-3 weeks or a month before a court for the judge ruling. And so September, the Senate Rules Committee additionally amended the bill to, one, make U.S. Supreme Court reviews of any federal litigation over the certification of state electors directly or discretionary rather than mandatory. Number two, ensure the judicial review procedure provided in the act does include litigation in other states it doesn't exclude litigation in other states and federal courts, and clarify the language around certification of electors to specify that during the counting of electoral college votes, Congress must treat electors certified by the state and modified by any state or federal court relief of conclusive. So reform of the ECA is seen as a critical step to preventing another event like the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021, in the aftermath of the 2020 presidential election. Former President Trump and his supporters exploited the ECA to fuel his attempts to overturn the result. The ambiguity around the vice president's role under the ECA fueled a pressure campaign on then-Vice President Mike Pence to reject valid Electoral College votes, and the EAC counting procedure inspired Trump supporters to pressure Republican members of Congress to object to Electoral College votes in several states. Again, like Hawley in the U.S. Senate, you know, he was pumping his fist going in there, and when the attack finally happened, you should have seen him running like a coward. Nothing Usain Bolt from Jamaica could call him, you know, could catch him. Carl Lewis, Ben Johnson, them the fastest people ever in the world in the Olympics. Josh Hawley was like running on air. He was flying, basically, the coward that he is, you know. So he's an insurrectionist propagator. So people like him should not be allowed to run for any office anymore. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Not any of them.
You know,
right? Absolutely, they agree. They have no business.
Yeah, exactly. No business. Insurrectionist is being a traitor.
Yeah, and you should be punished for it. That's it. Bottom line.
Yep.
Stop to think a minute. Stop. The Republicans they love to drag things out. Can you even imagine how long it would take to prosecute Green, Hawley, all of them? It's like the nightmare will never end. That's the sad part here. They have to go through the whole process.
Well, of course.
And jump ship, like, and just like Trump, different lawyer. This would take years. It's the saddest thing ever.
It's taking years as it is. You know, it is taking years as it is.
And these are crimes that are. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Go ahead.
When I said go ahead, it jumped out of my head.
Yeah. My hope is that C-SPAN and other media outlets run multiple cameras tomorrow from different angles. I just want to see Nancy Pelosi's face laughing when Republicans stumble over each other, you know?
Yeah, me too. It'll be interesting tomorrow. Like, very interesting to see how these creatures go after each other. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Hobart already had a starring match. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely. They're like a bunch of children in a playroom or something. They don't realize.
I have my popcorn drink ready, so, you know.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I have my popcorn ready and my drinks, so,
yeah.
You know. I mean, McCarthy, he humiliated himself.
when he took that picture of Trump after talking to Liz Cheney on the phone saying, you know, he needs to step down as president and talking tough over the phone and everything. And, and then the very next day, or was it the same night, he went to Mar-a-Lago to kiss Trump's ring and take a picture of him.
Yes, he did. Yep.
I mean, can you imagine bowing down to a man like that and being so desperate? That's desperation to me. No job is worth it.
Being married to him just because he is Trump is desperation.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. That one.
But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, McCarthy does not have, you're right, David doesn't have a spine, but he also has no respect for himself. Because really, if you have respect for yourself, you wouldn't stoop so low. I mean, that's stooping.
Right.
You're stooping as low as you can go. You're graveling to get a position of power. It's ridiculous. I mean, I just don't understand where their thoughts come from and how they convince themselves to think that they're worthy, because they're not.
Right. And listen, how bad do you have to be to make any concessions asked by these ultra-right-wing lunatics?
Yeah.
And you still didn't gain any votes from your own party to the Speaker of the House.
They're
how embarrassing.
Them. Yeah, they're making him look like
political
a fool.
Political blackmail.
Yeah, and they're making him look like a fool. That's the other thing. You know, he looks like a fool. I mean, honestly. If he would stand up for himself, maybe someone would have respect for him. But they know that they can say, hey, come on, let's do this or let's do that. And he'll say, oh, yeah, no problem, just vote for me. You know? It's beyond just do so low.
You know, and when you sell your soul to the devil, it's still not enough. So McCarthy, I mean, I don't know if – I don't even feel embarrassed for him. You know, I hope Nancy Pelosi, you know, catch a good camera angle and a smile on the camera. You know, that's what I am looking forward to tomorrow.
It'll just be so, you know, interesting. It's just crazy.
What time is this on tomorrow? What time is
it starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. 9 o'clock. O'clock in the morning.
9 a.m.
Proceedings.
Eastern? Okay.
Yes. And the pre-show and C-SPAN usually start from 6:30 to 7 o'clock. But I'll be at work then. You know, but what I want to say is Trump and his cronies indicted for treason. Two, I want Trump and his cronies to be in prison. You know, I just want to say that for closure, you know, because what they did was disgusting and not patriotic.
No.
And like, you know, what do we know in a Republican Party is not conservatism, you know?
No, it's not. You know, like I said before, this country needs closure. It needs, people need to be.
Move on.
Good and be punished for it. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. That's just the way it goes. You should have known better. You should have thought of it. Or
you know,
too bad. So sad.
You know what I want? I hope McCarthy don't get that majority, 218 votes he needs, because, you know, if he doesn't get it, we'll be hearing less and less of Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she is the one pulling the strings back there to get him elected. You know?
You're right.
She's basically the fact to speak out of house.
Yeah,
and Trump losing all this power after all this candidates lost badly in this midterm elections passed this past November, you know?
Yeah, the power is garbage. She's, you know, she's out of her mind as well. She really
is. Well, here's the thing as well. Doesn't she have an obligation to her constituents to do her damn job?
They
instead
don't
of going
care.
Out from east to west, north and south, and literally making a jerk out of herself, and they're paying her for that. This is it's ridiculous.
They don't care.
They don't.
I got elected. I fooled you. I can do what I want now. And too bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
yeah.
their how they. That's it. They got the job. That's
another
all
question. Another question I have is, why is Matt Gaetz not in prison?
Good one.
Because child rapist.
Isn't it because
the child
his
rapist
partner,
who paid for sex.
His father probably took
fall?
Care of it. He paid off. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he? Who was the man who was in cahoots with him doing this? Who was convicted and went to jail? What was his
yeah.
name?
Yeah, he went to jail for 11 years. I don't remember his name. He was a
yeah,
solicitor general.
Yeah, well, I think
general,
he took the fall for
Gates. Some... Yeah, he did.
He did
but
take
the
fall.
Point is,
yeah.
yeah, the point
he
is Gaetz, yeah. yeah, we'll have a receipt of what Gaetz did. It was in his name,
yeah.
those PayPal monies and everything. So he
yeah.
shouldn't be serving in Congress. He's like a rapist.
No.
You know, child molester.
Yes.
That's what he is.
Yes.
I'm not making apologies yes. for it because that's what Matt Gaetz is. A rapist.
He is. And then
you know?
You're right. And Jordan is just as bad because all those wrestlers that got molested, you know,
mm-hmm.
under his watch because he was an assistant
mm-hmm.
coach for 8 years, they came to him and told him what was going on, and he did nothing. He's just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is bad. He's
yeah.
culpable. That's what culpable means. Yep.
And to show you how these clowns, yeah, and to show you how these clowns fight over the power is quite telling. You know, they're fighting
yeah.
for power, but what are their policies? What do they plan to implement?
Yeah.
How do they
What's
plan
exactly?
to move America forward and work with Democrats? They have no plan.
Yeah.
They have no agenda. The only agenda is cutting taxes for the wealthy corporations and individuals. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, when that
mm-hmm.
happened, more money come in their coffers to run for re-election 2 years' time. They don't
yeah.
care
mm-hmm.
for America. Stop voting
mm-hmm.
Republican, people. They don't give a goddamn about you.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, you know, people come from families. They were raised in a Republican family. You know, their parents were Republican and, you know, back in the day and all of that good stuff. But this party is not the party, just like you said on the top of the show, David. This party is not
mm-hmm.
the party that it was. It has been destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
all the fibers of the party are gone. I mean, there is no being able to identify them anymore. It's gone. They have no identity, and they have
mm-hmm.
no policy. And they have no plans to help American people that are struggling. They have no plans for
yeah.
anything. So
yeah.
no plan for
them. I know Kevin and Kevin McCarthy,
yeah.
if you're listening or anybody who associated you listening, you're like the scarecrow, the cowardly lion, and the tin man all roll up in one. You
yeah.
know?
yeah.
You're feckle and,
we all
and you
know
have no sense
is.
And no dignity. Yeah, the
no.
wizard, who's the wizard? Not Trump, because he's stupid.
Oh, no,
yeah.
he's not the wizard. Are you kidding?
Who
there
are
no
the wizard?
I don't know any wizards in that clan. You know,
no.
I really don't. Where has Josh Hawley been? Has he been hiding somewhere? Or have I
he's
just
probably
been
I think he's been hiding.
Somewhere.
He's been quiet for a reason. It's just got to know the reason.
Yeah, awfully quiet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
very much so. I agree. And even Ted Cruz, well, who else? Who's been quiet?
Yeah.
Sanchez, I haven't heard much from him. Did they reverse the inclusion the on Disney, what he did? Did the courts reverse?
I haven't heard.
What Ron DeSantis did with Disney regarding their position in the state as far as
mm-hmm.
taxes.
Yeah.
I've been going back and forth,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if it's solved.
Yeah, but Ted
Period.
Cruz is Lucifer in the flesh, you know, as John Boehner rightly says.
Lucifer,
Ted Cruz
yeah, well.
Is Lucifer in the flesh. In the flesh,
yeah.
yeah. Okay,
sure
a question I have, following the major
mm-hmm.
COVID-related spending bills for the past 2 years, what will Congress
mm-hmm.
do next since they have a Republican majority? Will the Republicans try to claw back some of the money, you think? Because remember, none of them voted for these packages. Maybe yes, maybe no. The elected representatives in both parties from rural America, that are interested in seeing certain priorities, such as new high-speed broadband projects in rural and remote communities, be built out. Do you think Republicans, especially, would take away money from those things that were passed already, try to get back as much as I can? How do you think this will play out?
I do believe that they will try to, make everything difficult. In other words, they will introduce stupid bills that will harm the American people in general, but be good to the corporation. That's what I think. And, they may roll back some of the nice things that have been done because, they're fiscally, responsible, which is a bunch of BS because that's not true. So I do believe that something will come of that.
My hope is that Lynn Cheney will come in there and play a spoiler somewhere, somehow, because Kevin McCarthy is not it. Scalise is definitely not it. And goddamn Jim Jordan for sure is not it.
Oh,
good
God,
Lord.
Please.
not to mention Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert. I mean, I look through all of them, and none of them qualify to be speaker.
Oh,
they have no integrity.
No, there's nothing.
They can't spell the word.
No.
No. George Santos for Speaker of the House, New York District 3. Yeah, put them on an ethics committee. That would be funny.
If I'd call them the kettle black.
It's going to be, it'll be interesting to watch, but it's going to be very stressful to have to live it every day. I don't know about you, Madeline, but I was stressed out when Trump was in office. I hated it every single day. I was, what has he done today?
Why? Every day, why? Why did he do that?
Did he start World War III?
That's what I'm saying.
He had nuclear codes? Think about it.
Speaking of nuclear codes, do you know that in Hong Kong, Trump has an associate in Hong Kong, this Chinese lady, can't remember her name.
Yep.
If I did remember her name, I couldn't even pronounce it. $19.8 billion in quote-unquote loan to North Korea to build missile launch pads and other things. Trump did that. Why is the media not reporting that? $9.8 billion loan to North Korea. Aggressing, against South Korea. They should impeach him again for shit like that. Why is that not being talked about? The man is dangerous. The man is not patriotic. He should be in prison.
There's a lot of things through the years when he was president, so-called president. He was never my president, but that were not talked about. The outlandish things that he did and that he said, and when we had COVID and people were dying, and he would stand up there and look like a fool and talk about injecting bleach, and I mean
drinking bleach,
he should have been laughed out of office, just laughed out of office, laughing stock. I mean, who does
He didn't have he had the majority, so he wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, I know that, but I'm just saying, how embarrassing for the world. How embarrassing for the country.
It is embarrassing.
Yeah. People probably think, oh, my God, what's going on in this country? Are they all lost their minds here? Sometimes I wonder that.
Okay, so what do you think, if the door elect McCarthy Speaker, what will a coalition potentially look like in terms of priorities by this Republican-led House, and what needs will be met to obtain agreements to move the country forward? You know, do you think they'll form a strong enough coalition? Because remember, there is a Freedom Caucus made up of lunatics like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Then you have a Tea Party nut jobs. Then you have the neocons. Then you have the moderates. You know, there's hardly any moderates left in the Republican Party, let's put it that way. And then you have the different factions, the paleo-conservatives, you know, the war-hawk conservatives, the evangelical conservatives, you know. What coalition do you think?
I truly believe each group has its own agenda as far as undoing things that were good for the people today that Biden is doing, and take it and try to undo and mess it all up. And I think that's their first agenda. All of them. That's their first agenda. Mark my words, they are going to make Hunter Biden a target. How dumb is this? Okay? Pick us. Yeah, I think they're going to try to undo everything. I really, behind the scenes, everything. I do.
I know, thank God for the war room the Democrats set up, the Democratic National Committee, because
they
go after Hunter Biden, then the war room will retaliate and respond accordingly. You know, it's not Democrats in the past where like, you know, if they go low, we go high. That day is, those days done. That crap over. That ship done sail. That not way happen anymore. And make Jim Jordan go after Hunter Biden. Joe Biden is a seasoned politician like George H.W. Bush was, you know.
Yeah.
And he's going to come for Jim Jordan with everything. Because I don't know which parent wouldn't defend their kid against a scumbag like Jim Jordan.
Oh.
You know?
And like I said, there is an investigation going on. And Jim Jordan is not free of that investigation. You know, he ignored things and he ignored what was going on. He knew what was going on, you know, and he, you know, told some of the students, you know, to let it go type thing. So,
I can't,
it's going to come back to bite him.
I can't believe it hasn't already.
Well, it's brewing. It's brewing. Let's put it that way. It's
brewing. Republican Party.
It's brewing.
You know, I really
have a lot of we have a lot of things, you know, cooking on the stove right now. And we will see what happens when everything comes to a complete boil.
Jack Smith is going to surprise us, I hope.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do hope so.
The ball to drop, literally. So, but in answer to your question, I do believe they're going to try to undo so many things. I do.
Hey, Laurie, do you think that because Trump nominated and the Senate approved three Supreme Court justices nominee, Kavanaugh, that awful woman, Coney Barrett, and Gorsuch, Trump lied so much and did everything to, you know, impede democracy and have a coup, you know, since he's been impeached twice, do you think those judges should be recalled? We should have a system, sort of a system where there's a recall system for judges
they
like that. Because how can twice impeached president, you know, appoint three U.S. Supreme Court justices who in there for life? You know?
And not only that, you know, when they were interviewed, remember when they were interviewed? You know, they didn't tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You know, they really did.
The whole confirmation process needs to be redone.
As far as absolutely
does. Outline a new one.
And I also believe, I don't know if I'm the only one that believes this or thinks this, or in my view, I don't know that these Supreme Court justices should have a lifetime position. Because look at what's happening right now. I mean, it's, you know, we have, you know, this, they're political now. I mean, it's, they're biased right now, and they're in there for life. So how do you change that except to add more Supreme Court justices, to what we have? But I don't, you know, it's like they've been poisoned. They don't have, you know, I used to look up to the Supreme Court justices. I used to think, oh, my goodness, you know. And it didn't bother me that they had a lifetime commitment there. That was their, you know. But it bothers me now because I can see that the things and the rulings that they are, you know, coming out with are political. They're political and biased.
Yeah, based on Christianity.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to have, to be there for the rest of your life, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, the committees, the different committees in the House, from aging right down to Veterans Affairs, it'd be interesting to say who would be the committee chairman. Because for judiciary, we know that it's going to be Jim Jordan. Look at Veterans Affairs, who would be the chairman of that. Indian Affairs, the Native Americans need representation. And the respect that I deserve, you know, who do I put in charge of Indian Affairs? You know, Homeland Security, Health and Education, Labor, Pensions, you know? And please, for the love of God, do not put Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz or Lauren Boebert on the Intelligence Select Committee.
Because oh, my God.
That's funny, David. Yeah.
That's
a funny one.
Yeah.
Was that meant to be a joke?
For real. Yeah, well, kind of, sorta, you know. No, but I was being serious and trying to make a joke at the same time. But imagine those clowns on the Intelligence Committee. Oh,
I know.
You know?
I know. Pretty sad. Pretty sad.
Very sad.
Well, you know,
state of affairs.
I would say it again for the third time. You know, on the Ethics Committee, I want to see George Santos on the Ethics Committee. That would be grand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, that would be grand.
Yeah,
that would
show
be
grand.
Who the Republican Party was. Mm.
Yeah, you better believe
it.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yeah,
there's so
we'll
have 17 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
The number to
there's
call is... go ahead.
David, go ahead and finish. I just wanted to...
Okay, so, with the last 15 minutes, you could call in. We have 15 minutes left. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say your first name, where you're calling from. You can also subscribe to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We'll have another bit of year in review and everything. I'm talking about Republicans taking over on January 3rd tomorrow, the year in review 2022, and midterm elections are just passed and everything. So, yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Well, the last thing that I wanted to talk about is that President Biden issued 6 pardons end of the year to 6 individuals. I just wanted to talk a minute about this. He pardoned 6 individuals Friday who had already completed sentences for their offenses, including drug-related crimes and second-degree murder, and had become active in their communities following their release. The White House said Biden was a believer in second chances, and that he pardoned Friday, had demonstrated commitment to improving their communities and the lives of those around them. The list includes Beverly Ann Tamas, an 80-year-old Ohio woman who was convicted of murder for shooting her husband when she was 33 years old.
Oh my Lord.
Physically assaulted her and threatened her in the moments before that she killed him. But the court did not allow expert testimony regarding battered woman syndrome.
Yeah.
On appeal, she was sentenced to a term of 5 years, a moment considered significant towards judicial recognition of battered women syndrome. Also, a 66-year-old Arizona man, Gary Parks Davis, who pleaded guilty to using a telephone to conduct a cocaine transaction when he was 22. He served a 6-month sentence and completed probation in 1981 and he has since earned a bachelor's degree and volunteers in his community. Edward Lincoln Decote III, a 50-year-old California man, pleaded guilty to a marijuana trafficking charge when he was 23. He served more than a year in prison and had served in the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. Vincent Ray Flores was court-martialed when he was 19 years old for consuming ecstasy and alcohol while serving in the military. After being sentenced to 4 months confinement, he participated in a return-to-duty program and remains on active duty, earning various honors from the military. It is It is not unprecedented for the president to pardon authority for a military martial, but in the past has not been done without controversy. In 2019, then Donald Trump pardoned two former service members and restored the ranks of a third who was accused of much more serious crimes than Flores. At the time, Defense Secretary Mark Esper and the other senior military leaders told Trump a presidential pardon could damage the integrity of the military judicial system and the ability of military leaders to ensure good order and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Burns Jackson of South Carolina pleaded guilty to an illegal whiskey transaction when he was 18. After completing his probation in 1969, he had been active in his community, including helping renovate his church. And the last one, John Dick Knox III, a 70-year-old Florida man, pleaded guilty to a charge related to a marijuana grow house. He completed community confinement in 1997. And then he has worked as a general contractor and helped mentor young people looking to join the profession. So, I mean, you know, this just goes to prove that people can come back. We all make mistakes. And, you know, to be punished a lifetime for some of the things that I just read, which are not horrible, horrible things, you know, I think this is good.
Yes.
This is very good. And
we'll call from California.
When it happened.
Okay.
We'll have a call
ahead.
From California. Hello, California. Welcome to the show. We have 10 minutes. What's on your mind tonight?
Hello. My name is Joyce. And like you said, I'm calling from California.
Hi,
good evening, everyone. Hi.
Hello.
I was just curious. Yes, good evening and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just had a few questions, and I don't know how to go about asking because I don't mean it in an offensive or hostile way, but my question is regarding a statement that was made tonight on your show that was all the things that Donald Trump had said and done that were outlandish. I was just wondering if there were any specifics on that. Because I like to listen to blog talk shows and learn and expand my mind.
He inspired. He inspired the January 6th riots when he said in the speech, let's go down there, march down to Capitol Hill and fight for the country. Rudy Giuliani, in his speech that very same day, said the very same thing. He may come to blows and, you know, take up arms. The Emoluments Act, when he was in the White House, he broke that. You know, there are several things. You know, not paying taxes, you know. And he says he's going to contribute his presidential pay to the charity. It turns out that didn't happen. He lied.
It's a constant
thing with Donald Trump where he's a liar. You know?
It didn't happen. Okay. That's just, I'll look that up just to confirm. So thank you for that. What was the other thing? Oh, the January 6th. I understand that there were witnesses that weren't called, and also mm-hmm. evidence that had showed FBI had, or some I don't know, law enforcement that was there that was also willing participants or mm-hmm. facilitators of that. Mm-hmm. So, so that's something else I have to look up. Let's see.
Yes, they were part of the posse.
Yes, they were part
okay.
of it.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So they were working for Donald Trump, basically, to start trouble. Okay.
I wouldn't say working, but they did not do the right thing. Let's just put it that way. You know, you don't try to overthrow the government. You just don't do that.
And one last question. If we're mm-hmm. ever to trust our elections again, I was just wondering, in the Constitution itself, it talks about our elections, and basically that we are allowed to question the outcome, and then there's a process for that that has mm-hmm. to be followed. And mm-hmm. That process, if you look in the Library of Congress for that day of the election, it also shows a tally of what Joe Biden, what states and districts and all that he won, and Trump and all that, and it all pans out the way it should. And so mm-hmm. that, you know, I don't have any beefs with that because the numbers are the numbers. But my beef is, as far as the process goes, the process was denied. Now, do you think that elections should be questioned if there are questions as far as the who won? Or should we just take their word for it this person won? Mm-hmm.
If you doubt the election, are you saying that we should investigate it, each and every one that doubts it?
I think if they have a legitimate claim, like right now what people are saying on one side of the aisle is that, Donald Trump took it to these courts and they said that they rejected him or threw it out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And basically he never had a chance to present his case to any of those courts. They just shut it down and said, no, go away. And so so when you don't even have a chance to present your case before you're denied, that's kind of not the same thing as being shut down and being told by Supreme Court.
Well, they were investigated. They were investigated. And that is the reason why they were denied. They did look into it, and they were investigated. And I understand what you're saying. So you're thinking that if someone – take Arizona, for instance. What happened there with the governorship? And she, what was her name again? David, help me with her name.
Carrie Lake.
Yes, mm-hmm. Carrie Lake. You know, she, from the get-go, made outlandish, accusations that that it was rigged and
mm-hmm.
all of that. And they went through and they counted and they recounted. And they recounted, and they came up with the same numbers. So we have to trust our elected officials that run, these elections, and that's their job. And mm-hmm. They could also be, in trouble or arrested for fraud or whatever. So we have to have some sort of trust. And it turned out that Carrie Lake's accusations were not true,
I agree with you as far as, yes, we do have to be able to trust our institutions and the mm-hmm. people that work for our institutions is us. We the people. We volunteer to work,
yes.
the elections.
Right.
And so to not trust our neighbor, that's big trouble for our country. So, I totally agree with you on that.
And there's a lot of training that goes into it. It's stressful. It's a lot of work. And, our elections have been going on forever through the years. And, it's funny that, all of a sudden, there are things that are not right. And, it's just, you have to think about the whole thing. You have to think about the whole picture. You know, why is this going on all of a sudden?
I think that Carrie Lake had a legitimate question about the election, just because of the amount of time it took for the state to tabulate all of their votes. You had states that were smaller, states that were slightly bigger, whatever, that had
it did take them,
had
yes,
all their tallies
in. It took them a long time. It did take them a long time to count. Yes, it did. But they were slow in coming in. You know, the ones that were mailed in weren't coming in. So you have to count them as they come in. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not anyone's fault, you know.
Right,
and
right. Totally,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's you know, that is the process. Like myself, when I vote, I don't mail mine in anymore. I drop it off directly because I know it's there and it's quicker. So that's part of the reason.
But there's a reasonable
explanation,
like you just gave, as far as, you know, why the delay for the count and stuff. So, you got to consider that, too. And so the candidates need to consider as well, you know, before they start, you know, screaming fraud.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she had an ulterior motive, in my opinion. And so, you know.
Now, as far as the numbers at the state tabulation, so her team, I guess, was considering the delay that it took to count the votes. And then we're talking about the numbers counted, recounted, recounted, and still coming out the same. But what if you're recounting the votes that shouldn't have been in there, the ballots that shouldn't have been counted, but they were counted? And so, of course, when you recount, you're going to get the same number. You're going to recount, you're going to get the same number.
Well, maybe not.
So you'll never catch.
Because you have a different set of eyes that are looking at the ballots. It's not always the same people that are looking at them. And, you know, and it's a tedious job. So, you know, and we have to trust the system. I mean, this is what we have to do. We have to trust the system.
Yes. I'm wondering, because I don't know myself, if when they count them, they look at the names or they just are counting them because we need to get them counted and, you know, we trust that the person who voted and the signature is good.
No, they have to look at the signatures. They have to look at the signatures. Yes, that has to be done. They're signed and they have to look at the signatures. Absolutely. I mean, they have to make sure the ballots are valid. Yeah, that's part of the process. And I'm sorry to cut you off because we are going to be ending our show. I'm so happy. And what was your name again?
My name is Joyce.
Okay, Joyce. We thank you so much for calling in. We hope that you call in again.
Thank you for taking my call.
We are on Mondays and Thursday evenings.
Okay, good show, guys. Good show. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That was Joyce calling from California. We'll thank her for a call, first-time caller. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Madeline, for calling and contributing. We're
always
appreciated and everything. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Madeline.
And thank everybody for listening. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for the new year, January 2nd, 2023. Subscribe to Kitchen Politics 123 at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're on every Mondays and Thursdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain, and where you can talk about anything you want. Whoever you are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, welcome everybody. Till next time, Thursday, same time, same place. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And I'm Lori Picka from Michigan. Be safe. Have a good evening and see you set Thursday. Bye now.
Watch you drinking rum and whiskey. Now won't you have a double with me? I'm sorry, I'm a little late. I got your message, by the way. I'm calling in sick today. So let's go and for all time's sake. I'll never forget you. They said we never make it my sweet joy. And
Thank you.